Welcome to Asset Finance Connect's series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry. I'm Richard O'Donoghue, and over the next few months, I'll be chatting with industry experts about the challenges and opportunities facing our industry in 2025 and beyond. All this is possible with the sponsorship of Alpha. We'll tell you a bit more about Alpha later in the podcast. Today, we're going to discuss a topic that interests many players in the European asset finance industry, Africa and the Middle East. We all know there's opportunities in those markets, but what are those markets like? Are they very different to Europe, and how can we move into them? To explore this topic, I'm delighted to be joined by Bengayi Kumbula, the CEO of Innovant, which is a South African technology leasing company operating in a number of markets in Africa and the Middle East. So, Bengayi, thank you for joining, and I hope I've pronounced your name correctly.
Thank you. You did very well. I would have thought you were brought up in Africa.
Thank you very much for the compliment. But I'm going to start with a confession and an apology, because you and I first met probably 20 years ago when I was in Cisco, and I remember you came in to pitch Innovant to us in Joburg. And frankly, I've never said this to you, so this is a revelation, but we kind of looked and said, "Oh, these guys are new, do we want to take the risk? Will they even be around in a couple of years' time?" So 20 years later, my judgment was clearly wrong. And firstly, I apologize. But secondly, maybe talk to us about yourself, number one. But number two, why did you sort of feel back in, 2003, 2004, I need to go and set up a company called Innovant? What drove you to do that?
Thank you, Richard. And I'm glad that you finally confessed, because I still haven't recovered from you giving us a no. I'm not used to receiving no's in my life. I'm quite persistent. But I would love to tell you that, by the way, we have now finally signed with Cisco in UAE as a financing partner. So thank you for that.
Only 20 years later.
That's right. It took a while, but as I said, I'm persistent. I don't give up.
And you had to get rid of me.
So our history, we founded the business, three partners really, myself, Zake Kuzwayo, who is also still in the business, and an institutional investor, a small bank in South Africa called Sasfin. So individuals too, and an institutional investor, obviously, to provide the funding. What inspired us to do this? This was obviously back in 2003 when we set up the company. What inspired us to do this was, we used to work for a leasing company that had come from Australia, and we worked with them for about 2 to 3 years between the two of us. They had fantastic customers in the enterprise space. They were really first to market in terms of offering an operating lease, especially around technology, which was quite a novel idea in South Africa at the time. Nobody had done operating leases on IT before. So they really had the first market, first mover advantage in a big manner. But as we worked for this company, what we realized is more and more customers were walking away after the first end of lease experience. The primary reason they were walking away was that when they looked at the overall cost between the initial promise from a sale 3 years before the lease and post the lease, that cost had really escalated because of damage reports and that had to be charged for almost forced extensions because the customer didn't know that their contracts were expiring. So there was generally an opaque operation happening at end of lease, which made customers lose faith in the model. So this frustrated us, as especially youngsters. By the way, myself and my business partner are ex-PricewaterhouseCoopers chartered accountants. So one of the things, obviously, as we trained, was about ethics and transparency and really being upfront in everything you do. And we reflected on this and we said, look, there's really an opportunity. The customers clearly want to do this and they love the operating lease model, but they're being forced to walk away because economics after end of lease are not working for them. So I said, can we do something different? Can we offer something different to the market that could still give the customers something really good value for money as they expected and still run a profitable business. And I'm glad to say 21 years later, we have proven that we did reinvent the operating lease model. We have customers that have been with us for 20 years, which means they've gone through several end of lease cycles and they still have faith in what we do.
And I guess that's the endorsement of the model is when you have customers that go through multiple cycles. Because it's, I don't want to say it's easy to get a customer initially, it's hard work. But, you know, there's nothing worse than you get a customer that they have a bad experience and they're gone after 3 years. So, you know, I think it's great that you're able to point to customers that have gone through multiple cycles. You also mentioned operating leases, and it kind of brings me maybe to the next question. And maybe we start with South Africa, your kind of home market. Is the market in Africa, or at least in South Africa, very different from Europe? I mean, are there the same products, the same approach? Because I think most of us in Europe are pretty unfamiliar with the African markets, if we're truthful. And sometimes we think it's a totally different world out there. So again, interested in what similarities maybe there are and what's different.
So there's a lot of similarities. It's always amazing. I remember when we came to open our UK, by the way, we set up a UK operation 12 years ago. When I came to do my initial research and desktop investigations, meeting a couple of people, I was expecting some kind of, wow, we don't understand this. This is new. But I was really relieved to see that we were very similar. In fact, it turned out that in some aspects, we actually had quite a number of advances compared to Europe. And I say that respectfully because I know I'm talking to a wider audience here. And I'll give you an example. In terms of tools that we offer, for example, we offer an online platform where customers can go and review their contracts real time with a tracking system that's feeding on this platform. I had a gentleman who had come from the UK who was looking at partnering with someone. And when we said, this is the system, he literally fell off his chair because he couldn't believe the sophistication of this. He said, we don't have anything like this in the UK right now. I'm talking about 15 years ago now. So we have sophistications on the continent that probably are not spoken about, are not well understood in terms of the core offering operatingly. So because we've been around for 20 years, we have really gone through from an accounting perspective. We started with what was accounting standards and we moved on to international accounting, IAS 17, which regulated how operating leases were to be accounted for, if you remember, the minimum useful life, the present value of minimum lease payments, no bargain purchase options. So all those things, when I looked at the UK, were also in the UK. I remember especially the school program that was prevalent in the UK was very strict around how you arrived at classifying something called an operating lease. And we laughed at it because we were doing it in Africa already. It was straightforward for us to do it. We've always done it like that. So we've never proposed an operating lease purely on the fact that you don't own it and you are doing simply cash flow play. We've always said an operating lease has to meet the original IAS 17 requirements. Which require that you take a residual value, a true residual value with no recourse to the customer. They don't have contingency on their balance sheet. They can really record it in their income statement and take it off balance sheet. So all those things, we've been doing them for the last 21 years when we started. In terms of funding platforms, we've got a sophisticated funding platform in South Africa. While we don't have a lot of banks, we've got quite a number of innovative banks that are able to provide, if you like, the wholesale funding, what you call over there, the selling down of receivables, which is what we do in South Africa as well. Here we call it discounting of rental agreements. I think in the UK you call it assignment of receivables and so on. Same thing. So we may use different terminology, but in terms of the offering, it's really the same. Fair market value. Off balance sheet, you take the asset at the end of lease. I think what Africa has done, probably, and Innovent specifically, we've really built capabilities to give an end-to-end experience for the customer. So we are able to fund the asset. We are able to track and manage the asset. As you know, one of the challenges with leasing is that at the end of lease, if a customer is leasing 5,000 laptops, by the end of lease, they don't know where those assets are. So you thus then have hard conversations because you are trying to get back the assets. They are forced to extend because they can't fund it or find the asset. Hence, we have built capabilities to track the assets throughout the lease term and make sure that when the lease time comes or end of lease comes, they know exactly where those assets are. We've also built capabilities, for example, which I'll talk about a little bit later in detail, to be able to remarket the assets at the end of lease. And I think we were the first leasing company in South Africa to be able to package that in-house. This allows us, obviously, to really offer a true operating lease, and we're happy if the customer hands back the asset on month 36. We don't expect stick, and we don't rely on stick on those assets because we've built this capability to refurbish, remarket, redeploy, and be able to sustain the business that way.
And look, I remember when I think you took us on a tour in South Africa at one stage where you showed us your remarketing capabilities and explained your model. And again, maybe for people listening in, maybe just explain a little bit about that, because your model, as you've said, is you want the assets back. You want to be able to remarket them. So can you talk about how you do that?
Right. So, Richard, if you remember when we began, you said, why did we do this? We said customers are frustrated because they received a promise on day one. When month 36 comes, that promise dissipates very quickly because the lessor doesn't have a strategy on remarketing. While they have it in their brochure and in their marketing collateral, in reality, they don't have. So the traditional lessor would fund the assets, but when they get to 36 months, they're hoping and praying the customer forgets to return the assets. For the customer forgets to give notice on, and they automatically extend that contract by a quarter or a year in that case. And why do they do that? They were doing that because they didn't have a plan, a real plan on how to remarket these assets. So they would end up in a wholesale auction type of arrangement where they couldn't even realize the residual value that they had invested. So the only way was to try and recover the residual and profit from the primary customer, which doesn't support the promise that was made. What we did very deliberately early on, we built these in-house capabilities to be able to remarket the assets. We said, let's not make it a brochure or marketing promise. How about we actually do this in practice? So what we did is we went out and we built a warehouse with technical staff, software. I think you'll be aware of a system called Blanco that is used all over the world to do spec and check these assets, refurbish them to as good as new quality, and be able to place them not at wholesale. So we've got a dedicated sales market-facing team that takes our ex-lease equipment and goes to retail outlets to sell it. When I talk about retail outlets, I'm not talking about traders. I'm talking about us. For example, we've got one of the largest retailers, very similar to a Marks and Spencer in the UK. They've got 10,000 of our refurbished desktops and laptops that they use. So when we refurbish these assets, we really do it thoroughly in such a way that there is no distinction between a new one and a refurb one. In fact, if you have a moment, if you go to our UK website, you'll probably see a video where about 2 months ago, we were at a conference, because we have a second life business in the UK as well, where we asked people who were passing through our stand to choose between one of our refurb units and a new unit. I tell you, we had 50%, this is new, 50% saying this is refurb. Guess what? Both were refurb machines. But the bottom line is, the point is proven that the way we've done it is so good, is so exceptional that customers are comfortable to use refurbished. I almost want to say we invented the whole reuse in retail spaces in enterprise spaces of old laptops and desktops. We give them a 3-year warranty, in-house warranty. When we remarket these assets, we can sell them outright, or we actually still re-rent them to the customers. They see value because they now pay 50% of new with a warranty, and they've got peace of mind. So this is how we have really distinguished it. We call that business Curent. So you talked about Innovent. We've got a business in South Africa called Curent, different branding, totally dedicated to refurbishment, remarketing, and supporting those devices. In the UK, we call ourselves Second Life, where we then unlease this equipment or reuse it in other sectors.
And look, there's a obviously in Europe, there's huge talk about sustainability, various directives from the EU, somewhat uncertain, I would say, regulatory environment as to how extreme those regulations will be because implementing them is proving problematic. But I think the whole idea of Second Life remarketing, what you're doing is really interesting. And for older listeners like me, we'll remember maybe the Pepsi Challenge ad. And it sounds like you did something similar with laptops, which is which. But so I really like that example. But we've touched on South Africa, and it's always been a fairly mature financing market. I know Qrent in particular has brought you into other markets in Africa. Are there leasing opportunities in other places, or is it still very much in its infancy?
Right. I would, especially around technology leasing and operating leases, there are opportunities in other African countries. We have opened in Nigeria. We have opened in Kenya. While those markets are much smaller, there's a lot more risk around exchange rate regulations and so on. The opportunities are there, especially beyond IT. You can offer operating leases on yellow goods, on medical equipment, and so on. So the opportunities are there. Obviously, Africa is a fragmented continent. There's sometimes a misunderstanding that if you do business in Africa, you're dealing with a bloc like China or the United States or something. It's very different. It's different countries with different rules. So it can get quite complex in terms of complying with legislation. But I would say that ordinarily, the history of Africa is ownership. We've got a mindset. I think it comes from our agrarian background where we were brought up to own cows and grow cows and never sell your cows. Whatever, you would rather starve, but you never, ever, ever sell cows. You must own them. So I think that is still one aspect that we are addressing in the market. From our DNA, history always says, if I pay for something, I want to earn it. So it also presents a massive opportunity as you educate the customers and really making a distinction between personal decisions where you may want, for sentimental reasons, to own a laptop or a phone. But when you are making business decisions, you've got to wear a business hat rather than personal views. And I think we are getting that message across.
And coming from Ireland, ownership and land and agriculture, I can absolutely relate to that. It's exactly the sort of mentality that we've always had as well. And it's taking time. And I guess the consumerization of IT, where people use subscriptions for other things, starts to open up people's mindsets. Now, for a quick word about our sponsors, Alpha. If you're going to move into the Middle East or Africa, you'll need a platform that can support local market requirements. Alpha System 6 delivers a bespoke solution that supports origination, servicing, and collections in the asset finance industry. Find out how Alpha System 6 can support your geographic expansion at alphasystems.com. So, I mean, we've talked about the A in EMEA. Let's go to the ME, the Middle East, because again, you guys have kind of you've come north. We've all our Europeans, all of us sort of heading south into the Middle East, but you've come north, bringing a different perspective, I guess, into the Middle East. So again, what are you learning there? Where are you present and what are you trying to do?
Right. So perhaps to answer the first kind of, so why would you go to the Middle East? So as we developed in South Africa, we've become, and I don't want to sound arrogant about this, but we've become almost like the reference point for international OEMs looking for partnerships for operating lease, where they've got a great service level in Europe. They've got great service in the Americas. But this bloc called Africa, Middle East, they have not been able to find suitable partners. So we signed up with several OEMs in the past that we've worked with, Lenovo Financial Services being one, HP Financial Services being one, on the African continent. We are the exclusive white-labeled financing partner. And humbly so, because of the work we did for them and they were so impressed, they then gave us a challenge and say, look, we have coverage everywhere else. You guys have been able to do something special for us in Africa. We've got the same challenges in Middle East, and Middle East being GCC, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman. Are you guys able to do something similar? And because of our DNA, our build, Richard, as I said, we started this business from scratch. That's what we do for a living. We are quick, we are entrepreneurial, and we like challenges. We took those challenges up. We said, right, we are going to go to Dubai. So in January 2024, we opened our offices in Dubai, offering the full suite of services, a true operating lease FMV offering with our brands, Innovent. We are running Lenovo Financial Services over there. We are running HP Financial Services over there. We've recently signed a relationship with Cisco now. So we are growing in less than 15 months of setup. There's a lot of potential. What did we see when we got on the ground? We were shocked to find out that there was no true operating lease provider, especially in IT assets. It didn't exist. While there were some international captives that were operating in the region, the way Dubai operates, there's something called an onshore and an offshore structure. Onshore structure being that you can now operate as a local UAE entity regulated there, and you can trade in local currency. And if you are offshore, you are trading in dollar and you are not registered as you are treated as a company that's actually not in the country. A lot of the captives, they set up that type of operation. But even then, they didn't have an operating lease offering. They were offering loans, trade finance, traditional finance leases, those type of things, which the market has said, thank you for that. But we are really looking for something innovative, something different that Europe is getting, that South Africa is getting. Why aren't we getting it here in UAE as well? Yes, there's a lot of regulations that we had to go through. Licensing regime is quite strict compared to Europe and South Africa. We had to learn about that very quickly. But after we set it up, we've really seen that the appetite is really significant. We've done some significant transactions in a very short space of time. As we do that, we're educating both the customers as well as the funding partners, because the funding partners didn't even have such a product to be able to buy receivables. So as we build the confidence, we are doing that. One of the key distinctions, Richard, that we've seen is in Europe, in UK, in Africa, we've always focused on funding the end user customer for various reasons. This reseller or partner doesn't want to take the risk. They want to recognize revenue upfront without any accounting challenges. They don't want to take the risk on this. It made sense to go and fund the end customer. However, what we've seen in UAE is that the partners, they are pretty significant. You've got some big balance sheet players, and I can almost say 100% of them want to take it on balance sheet themselves or rent to them so they can do an on lease to their end customers, which was quite something I hadn't experienced in my 21 years of operation. So for a while, I kind of barked up the wrong tree around, but guys, why aren't you seeing that you can't recognize your revenue? You're taking the risk. Let us talk to your customer directly. But I've had to understand that culture and the way it works. And in a way, it actually helps because you sign one agreement master with a partner who is now able to go to market and take the offering to several customers. So that's a big distinction between Africa, Europe, and UAE. I'll add one more there. They are very strict around the classification of a finance lease and an operating lease. So when you come into Dubai, you must get an operating license, which says these are the things you're allowed to do, very, very detailed, specific. So if they say you're an operating lease provider, you don't have to register with the central bank as a financial entity, which means you can offer operating lease. If you're a finance lease provider, you must, like a bank, you must register with the central bank, and you're not allowed, by the way, to offer operating lease if you're a bank in that region. So one of the things we found customers who said, for example, okay, guys, we would like you to rent this equipment to us for 3 years, but just for peace of mind, give us an option, not a right, an option to be able to buy back the equipment at the end of 3 years. Absolutely no, in terms of the regulations, because the regulations say if you do that, it will then be deemed as a finance lease. The fact that it was bought at market value, not a bargain purchase price, doesn't matter. It's immediately deemed as a finance lease. The fact that you rented it and gave an option, that means now you must now go to central bank and get registered. They take that very seriously. You can't breach that because you have come in as an operating lease provider, not having to go through central bank. So the moment you go and dabble on something they see as crossing the line between a finance lease and operating lease provider, they really take that seriously. So those are some of the things to watch out for as you operate in the region with the market pressures that come, obviously, those requests.
Of course. And that's a very real risk you've highlighted. I'm aware of a couple of companies that have encountered that problem where they believe they're offering an operating lease and they end up are offering a finance lease from a regulatory point of view, and obviously the consequences are serious. You've done a great job of making it sound, and I'm not suggesting you're being unfair in any way, but making it sound like it's a pretty difficult market to get into, and you know it requires an understanding of the differences. So to kind of sum this up, I'm guessing you're keen to partner with people who maybe don't want to kind of make the step themselves of going into the Middle East market, but would like to partner with somebody that's already there. So in the last minute, give me two or three reasons why if somebody's considering offering something in the Middle East and they're looking for a partner, why that partner should be Innovent.
No doubt. You can sit in Europe or UK, wherever you are, and get your job done through us. It's as simple as that. We with humility, we've proven that we've got the full offering, not just in bits of it and outsourced to other people. We do it all in-house. I've spoken about Lenovo, that our partner, HP, that our partner, that have given us the licenses to run white labels on their name because of what we've done out of Africa. And coming to Middle East was an invitation by them because of the good work we've done. So I'm very confident that if you are looking to get your operation going, instead of trying to set up something or look for partners out there who are trying to sell a story, we are already there. We are operating. And the fact that the top OEMs that we started with have invited us to come and work with them really speaks volumes about the kind of things we're able to do. And I can say that if you look from a block point of view, if you talk to us, you are talking not to somebody to do Dubai, not to do Kuwait, then talk to someone else in Africa. If you talk to us, we will cover GCC for you. We will cover Africa for you. So if you have your own arrangements in Europe already, you can carry on with those arrangements and you appoint one guy called Innovent that can look after you from a strategy, from a management perspective, from Middle East into Africa.
Fantastic. And I think what my colleagues in US companies would refer to that as is push the easy button. It's an easy way to expand into a new market. So look, it's been fascinating. As I said at the beginning, I apologize, first of all, but then I said, you know, we're all very familiar with Europe. I think Middle East, Africa, there's an element of mystique about it, lack of understanding. You know, it's like anything. When you move further away from your home market, you sometimes wonder what a market is like. And I think it's been fascinating to talk to you and understand, you know, there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences. And, you know, I've really appreciated your time today. It's been a really enjoyable conversation. So, Bengawi, I wish you every success. And again, thank you for sharing the Innovent experience and your experience in the Middle East and Africa.
Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. I look forward to further engagement from this. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. It was really interesting to chat with Bengawi and to get his perspectives on markets with which most of us are less familiar. In a fast-changing world, I think it's difficult for any single company to do everything in-house. So his thoughts about partnerships really resonated with me. If you've enjoyed this episode, look out for future episodes in the coming weeks. Also, if you have ideas for future episodes, drop a note to the team at Asset Finance Connect. Thanks for listening.